Welcome to the Nutritionista podcast. Here in the online Nutritionista clinic, we're dedicated to empowering women to take control of their health. I'm Megan Hayes, and I'm both a women's health and reproductive medicine specialist and also a clinical nutritionist here within the clinic. This podcast goes beyond the typical medical approach, offering deep insights that challenge the status quo and empower you to take control of your own health. We'll explore specialist knowledge from my medicine background, break down the latest scientific studies, and use NLP techniques, which are simple tools to reframe thoughts and your behaviours. And we're going to combine this with holistic healing. Along the way, we'll also tap into the power of cycle syncing, showing how aligning your body's natural rhythms can boost your health, energy, and sense of empowerment. Before we dive in, a quick reminder, everything shared in this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. It's not intended to replace professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always consult with your healthcare provider before making any changes to your health regimen. Welcome back. Today we're going to continue into our deep dive discussion into caffeine. And in this second part of our two-part series, we're going to shift gears to talk about whether caffeine should stay in your daily routine or maybe we just need a break. We've already covered how caffeine affects your gut and digestion, so now it's time to look at how and when you should consume it for optimal benefits if you want to keep it there. We'll also talk about when it might be a good idea to take a break from it altogether, how genetics play into caffeine metabolism, and how to figure out whether your daily cup of coffee is helping or hindering your health. This episode is packed with valuable insights, so if you're someone who relies on that morning coffee or afternoon energy drink, you'll want to stick around. We'll help you navigate your caffeine consumption to see if it's really serving your body in the way you think it is, or if it's secretly sabotaging your energy, hormones, and overall health. Okay, I want to jump straight into it because this can be a pretty long one today. When is the best time to have your caffeine? So timing is everything, and getting it wrong can not only affect your energy, but also impact your sleep and stress levels. The best time to consume caffeine is usually mid to late morning and around 10 to 11 a.m. And this is what I advise clients on. The long answer to the short question of why is because your cortisol, which is the hormone that helps you feel alert and awake, naturally peaks between 6 to 9 a.m. So having caffeine too early can interfere with your body's natural rhythm, creating an unnecessary cortisol spike when your body simply doesn't need it. If you're someone, unfortunately, like me at the best of times, who grabs that cup of coffee as soon as you wake up, you might want to rethink that strategy. So if you try waiting until mid-morning when your cortisol levels naturally dip after 9, that's when you'll likely find that your coffee or tea gives you that more sustained boost. So caffeine's timing isn't just about energy, it's also about your gut and gut health. Have you ever wondered why that first cup of coffee seems to send you straight to the bathroom? This is a common scenario. It's because coffee stimulates the central nervous system, specifically increasing gut motility. All in all, this means it encourages peristalsis, and this is the contractions that move food through your digestive tract, leading to what some lovingly call the coffee poop. For many, this effect is particularly strong in the morning when your digestive system is more sensitive to those external stimulants. It's no coincidence that people often rely on coffee to get things moving, if you know what I mean. However, over-relying on caffeine for regular bowel movements can disrupt your natural rhythm, and over time it can lead to gut irritation and even reliance on caffeine to have that normal bowel movement. So while caffeine might feel like a quick fix for that sluggish digestion in the morning, it's not the solution for long-term gut health. A good alternative can be to have a warm glass of water with lemon to stimulate digestion without stressing your symptoms, or a I like to switch it up and have a miso soup or a bone broth or something warm in that place to kind of let your body think it's still getting what it needs without really getting the negative effects if caffeine is indeed causing those negative effects for you. Now, drinking caffeine in the afternoon or evening, however, can be disruptive to your sleep and lead to a vicious cycle of needing more caffeine the next day. I've worked with clients who drink in the afternoon, say 3 or 4 o'clock, and often because they're feeling that slump. But what many don't realize is that caffeine can linger in your system, interfering with your sleep and setting you up for another tired day where you need more caffeine to function. So you can see this is a vicious cycle. It's a cycle that can impact your energy, stress levels, and mood. So once we cut out that late day caffeine, you'll often sleep better and have more consistent energy throughout the day. Now, pre-workout caffeine, is it a performance boost or a problem? Caffeine can be that great pre-workout boost. It can help improve focus, endurance, and fat metabolism. There's studies that show caffeine taken 30 to 60 minutes before exercise can absolutely enhance your physical performance, particularly in endurance activities like running or cycling. But it's all about timing and personal tolerance. Too much caffeine right before a workout can give someone the jitters, an increased heart rate, or even dehydration. But then again, it might be perfect for some. It's about finding what works for you. Now, I want to talk about something that doesn't get enough attention, and that's caffeine's impact on mental health. When you consume caffeine or any of those stimulants, it triggers the release of cortisol, and that's your body's stress hormone. While a little cortisol is normal, and in fact, it's essential to help you wake up and stay alert, but if you're someone who's already dealing with high stress, anxiety, or burnout, that extra caffeine rush can push your cortisol levels into overdrive. This can lead to feelings of anxiety, restlessness, and even panic attacks. I've had a client who was dealing with severe work-related stress, and I'm talking crazy, crazy stress. She was drinking coffee throughout the day to keep herself going, but it only made her anxiety worse and worse. Once we did test her cortisol levels, it was hugely clear that her adrenal glands were on overdrive. Once we reduced her caffeine intake and worked on some more stress management techniques like breathing and exercises and things like better sleep hygiene, her anxiety all but disappeared. Now, cortisol isn't just the hormone that wakes you up and keeps you alert. It has a significant effect on your gut. High cortisol levels can either lead to constipation or diarrhea, depending on how your body reacts. So when caffeine triggers that cortisol spike, it's not just your brain and energy levels that get effective, it's your digestive system too. For some, cortisol makes the gut more sensitive and it speeds up that gut motility and leads to more frequent bowel movements. But for others, if you're adding chronic stress and elevated cortisol, it can slow digestion down, causing constipation. That's why your relationship with caffeine should be carefully managed, especially if you're someone who already experiences stress-related digestive issues. Caffeine itself also interacts with dopamine and serotonin, and these are two key neurotransmitters that regulate our mood, motivation, and mental clarity. That's why you often feel that happy buzz after you drink your morning coffee. But here's the kicker. While caffeine boosts dopamine and serotonin in the short term, regular and excessive use can actually deplete these neurotransmitters over time. And that can lead to mood swings, irritability, and even depression. So if you're someone who deals with mood swings, low energy, general irritability, it's really worth considering whether your caffeine habit is playing a role. Caffeine might be masking an underlying issue that needs attention, like nutrient deficiencies, hormonal imbalances, or chronic stress. I also want to look back on the genetics, and I know we mentioned this in the first episode, but have you ever wondered why some people can drink a double espresso right before bed and sleep like a baby, while others are just jittery after one cup in the morning? And the answer lies in your genetics, specifically the one mentioned before, the enzyme CYP1A2, and that's responsible for metabolizing caffeine in your liver. Now, some people have a genetic variation that allows them to metabolize caffeine quickly, while others are known as slow metabolizers. Now, if you're a fast metabolizer, you're likely to be able to handle more caffeine without experiencing those negative side effects. But if you're a slow metabolizer, even moderate amounts of caffeine can lead to symptoms like anxiety, insomnia, and digestive issues. This is one reason why figuring out your own unique caffeine tolerance is really important. Now, there's nutrigenomic testing that can help you understand how your body metabolizes caffeine. So I've had clients that basically can explain why someone's experiencing anxiety and trouble sleeping after just one cup of coffee. And this could be at 9 a.m. in the morning and they're having severe issues the night of. Now, when we're doing this on repeat and on repeat, this is where we get the big signs and symptoms popping up. If you reduce caffeine and switch it to herbal tea or whatever they like, if they're switching it to a smoothie or they want to keep something warm in their diet, this is where we often find the effects of after about a week or so, the calmness sets in and the sleep will be dramatically improved. Interesting though, genetics don't always just influence how quickly or slowly you metabolize caffeine. It also plays a huge role in how your gut reacts to it. So some people's digestive symptoms, or systems I should say, are more sensitive to caffeine, leading to that familiar urge to head to the bathroom shortly after a cup of coffee. If you're someone who finds yourself racing to the bathroom after a single cup, you might be more genetically predisposed to caffeine's laxative effects. For some, you might feel no digestive symptoms or impacts at all. And this is another reason why personalizing your caffeine habits is really important. So one size does not fit all, especially when it comes to our own unique genes and digestion. Now, as we mentioned before, caffeine is metabolized in the liver. We've touched on it before, that enzyme CYP1A2, that is the one responsible for that process. But here's the kicker. If your liver's already dealing with that heavy load from a poor diet, environmental toxins, medications, caffeine can just add to that burden, and that's when it leads to a sluggish detox system. And that's where your body's going to struggle to process not just the caffeine, but other toxins, hormones, and metabolic wastes. So the liver plays a really critical role in your detox, including breaking down caffeine. So another function of the liver is to produce bile, which is crucial for digesting fats and regulating bowel movements. Caffeine, when consumed in large amounts, can often overstimulate the liver, potentially affecting that bile production and leading to irregular bowel movements, either too frequent or not frequent enough. So if you are dealing with gut issues like constipation or loose stools, it could be linked to how your liver is processing caffeine. It's especially true for those who consume coffee on an empty stomach or rely on it throughout the day. Now, I have worked with several clients who were dealing with hormone imbalances like estrogen dominance, and that's a common one. And when we often dig deeper, it's really clear that liver detox pathways are just overburdened, in part due to the high caffeine intake. But supporting our liver with like really liver detox friendly foods like leafy greens, cruciferous vegetables are a big one, and plenty of water while reducing caffeine, the symptoms of hormonal imbalances are improved significantly. Now, it's also to consider the gut-liver axis. So there's the communication between the two. Caffeine affects both of these systems. So if you're dealing with issues like constipation, bloating, or a fatty liver, it might be time to reevaluate how much caffeine you're consuming. Supporting your gut health with fibers, probiotics, prebiotics, and plenty of hydration really, really alleviates these symptoms. Now, we know caffeine gives us that immediate burst of energy, but it also triggers changes in blood sugar regulation. So when you consume caffeine, it often increases that insulin resistance temporarily, making it harder for those cells to absorb glucose from your bloodstream. While for some people this effect is mild and short-lived, it can be more pronounced for those who are already insulin resistant or have conditions like PCOS or type 2 diabetes or that are even pre-diabetic. And I see a lot of those clients. So if you're drinking coffee first thing in the morning and you're experiencing those mid-morning energy crashes and feel incredibly hungry, possibly monitoring blood sugar levels, you can discover that caffeine can contribute hugely to those spikes and crashes. If you want to switch up your routine by encouraging like every day to have a protein-rich breakfast and pushing that caffeine to later in the morning, like I mentioned before, 10 or 11 o'clock, this results in a far more stable energy throughout the rest of the day. Now, beyond blood sugar regulation, caffeine's effect on insulin and glucose also connects to how your digestive system processes food. When caffeine increases that gut motility, it speeds up the movement of food and waste throughout your system. It can be beneficial if you're prone to constipation, but it can also lead to nutrient malabsorption if food moves too quickly through your gut. It's not going to get absorbed. For people who consume high sugar milk alternatives or pair their coffee with sweeteners, caffeine can exacerbate that roller coaster of blood sugar spikes and digestive upsets. And that's especially common for people with sensitive stomachs or conditions like IBS, where gut motility is already in a fine balancing act. And as in the first episode, we were discussing leptin and ghrelin and the two hunger hormones that they are. So quick recap, leptin tells your brain when you're full, while ghrelin signals hunger to our brain. So caffeine decreases the leptin levels and it can leave you feeling hungrier, and it increases ghrelin, meaning you're more likely to snack or overeat after a cup of coffee. Now, a great way to figure out how caffeine is affecting your blood sugar, your hunger hormones, and your energy levels is by tracking this. Try keeping a journal of what time you consume caffeine, how much you have, and how your body feels in the hours afterwards, and you'll start to notice patterns, whether you're feeling jittery or you're having sugar crashes. They can each give you clues about whether you need to adjust your caffeine consumption to optimize your energy. Now, as we wrap up this episode in our two-part series on caffeine, I hope I'm answering all the questions I get on this on almost the daily. Caffeine can either be a supportive tool for energy and focus, or it can become a crutch that negatively impacts your digestion, hormones, and even your mental health. So, how do you find the right balance for you? And as I said before, the key is listening to your own body. Whether you decide to keep caffeine as part of your routine, reduce it, or take a break entirely, timing matters, your unique metabolism matters, and the signs your body gives you definitely matters. And if you're thinking it might be time for a caffeine detox, it's important to do it gradually, cutting back slowly, replacing one cup with decaf or herbal tea, or cutting down to green tea, or like I said before, bone broth or miso soup are great replacements. But make sure you're staying hydrated and fueling your body with nutrient-rich foods. This will help you avoid those dreaded withdrawal symptoms like headaches and fatigue. Now, before you go, I want to give you a quick hack. Take 1 week to track how caffeine affects your own body. Jot down when you have it, how much, how you're feeling throughout the day, your bowel movements, what's going on when you go to the bathroom. You might be surprised at the insights this gives you about your unique energy levels, sleep quality, and even your mood. To wrap things up, it's clear that caffeine's impact goes far beyond just giving you that boost of energy, from influencing your bowel movements to affecting your liver's detox pathways. Caffeine can either support or disrupt your digestion depending on how, when, and how much you consume. The key, as always, is balance. Until next time, keep listening to your body and remember, small shifts can lead to massive changes. Thanks again for joining me on today's journey through your health and wellness. I hope you're leaving with some practical insights and feeling much more connected to your body. Remember, small, meaningful changes can lead to big transformations over time. If today's episode resonated with you, be sure to subscribe, leave a review, and please share it with someone who might benefit from this message. And if you're looking for some more personalized advice, resources, or support, head over to nutritionista.com.au. Until we meet again, keep listening to your body, honoring the process, and celebrating each step. You've got this.